It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guys, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk.
Welcome into the show. We had a busy night, if you love, and a great night if you love NBA basketball. But we'll start off with something that's become a theme when we talk about the Astros. I see a lot of the Astros are boring, and I got to calibrate because I'm a let's not lie about things. I'm not a baseball guy, so you tell me. Baseball's on, I'm going to just assume it's boring. But are the Astros boring or are they just mediocre? They're 17-17. They lose in Milwaukee last night. That's coming off losing 2 out of 3 to the White Sox. And Ronel Blanco's out there. He's fine. The quality start, he gets one, gives up 3, and it felt like the game was over. And the Astros bats confirmed your beliefs if you thought the game was over. They go down 5-1, but he goes 6, gives up 3. But there's not a lot of juice there, man. Cam Smith gave you that juice coming into the year. The excitement of watching the rookie who had this rapid ascent. He was the crown jewel of the Tucker trade. So you're like, yes, let's look at Cam Smith do his thing. But that wears off. Now you're 34 games into the year. It's another game where you don't score more than 3 runs. And they're kind of just blah. After the intensity of the Rockets playoff series, it's a real come down to go to just watch the Astros and hope they put it together. And, of course, record-wise, they're better than they were last year, but they're just a team still trying to figure it out. In the spot I talked about it, say, hey, our bats haven't got going. We're playing 500 baseball. Don't worry about us. And if you're Joe Espada, you can probably take some comfort in your team was pretty bad last year. And they found a way to win the division. So you've got utmost confidence. Now, the guys have changed, but he's been around that organization long enough to know that the Astros tend to figure it out. And right now, they got some figuring out to do, particularly at the plate. Look, the pitching has been up and down over the last week or so. Over the course of the first 34 games, the bats have been pretty inept. Chandler Rome tweeted out that this is the 20th time, or last night was the 20th time they scored 3 or fewer runs. Sean and I talked about it earlier in the season about the lack of crooked numbers being put up, where it felt like if their pitchers gave up one of their own, then the game was over, and that played out yesterday. So 5-1 the final. The bats are still in and out. Like, just depends on the game. They felt like things had turned, and then you run into the White Sox, and at least last night against the Brewers, and we're right back to it. So 20 out of 34 games, you don't score 3 runs or more. Or you score, 3 or fewer runs. That's rough. For a lineup that you maybe thought with the addition of Walker, and then, of course, Paredes as the Bregman replacement, you may have thought you had a bit of a deeper lineup because you didn't have the Abreu – the Abreu Singleton thing at first base, but you take into account you're pretty light hitting in the outfield, specifically when Altuve's hitting the way he's hitting right now. He's been in a slump. Then you throw in the Jake Meyers of it all, who we always grade Jake Meyers on a curve. Hey, look, Jake got a couple hits. It's like, all right, it's better than the Jake we know. And of course, your issues out in right field where you're not sure who your everyday right fielder is. They got some issues, hitting chief among them. So their pitchers don't have a lot of margin for error. So even in a start where Ronel Blanco, who is trying to find the form of last year, recovers from the early issues and guts out 6, it was over. It was over as soon as the second run crossed the plate in that inning that he gave up. So they're kind of blah. Right, and we'll wait, and we'll hope for the turnaround. But they go down So that's now, after playing pretty well, they've lost three out of four. The road trip has not gotten off to a good start against two teams who, well, particularly the White Sox. We thought they'd have their way. The final game of the series got canceled, they didn't play the full game, so we weren't sure how that was going to go. Maybe they come back and win, but either way, you're down late in the game to the White Sox, and now you continue your road trip today in Milwaukee. It'll be Wesneski versus Chad Patrick. If you have never heard of Chad Patrick, welcome. Welcome to the party. A lot of people haven't. Because we don't care about National League Baseball. So anytime they're playing a National League team, unless you're a baseball sicko, you're like, you're not going to know who these guys are. I challenge people. Could you name the full rotation of a National League Central team? Hell, outside of maybe hate watching the Dodgers, could you name a full rotation of any National League team?
I was going to say, I don't think I can name five starters among the NL Central.
Yeah. It's one of the more anonymous, boring divisions in baseball. We don't care about that.
I got Chad Patrick.
Just gave you that one.
Obvious. Everyone
knows Chad Patrick. Myers, because he pitched yesterday. Who else?
All right. Now I have to start. Wainwright still on the Cardinals?
Is Adam Wainwright pitching for the Cardinals?
Carpenter?
I'm going to guess no. No?
I think he does the FS1.
Chris Carpenter?
Broadcast.
No. It's what it is.
Kerry Wood? Mark Pryor?
No. Those are... No, those are no's. No.
They used to.
Yes, you're right. They
back
did.
When the Astros are in the.
Way back when the Astros are in the NL Central, the Cubs did have those two.
Paul Skeens.
Ah, there it is. The AL East. NL East, right?
No, the Pirates are in the Central.
See, this is what I. Why are the Phillies in the East and the Pirates aren't?
Because I guess Philadelphia is farther east.
The state of Pennsylvania. Well, how come the Astros aren't? They're further east than the Rangers.
Oh, you know, whatever.
I should have known that. You're right, but it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense when the Phillies are in the East.
What's the other team other than the
Cubs, the Pirates, the Reds?
Oh, the Reds. All right. Next question.
No chance, right? No chance.
Reds.
If the Astros play the Reds for a day or two, I'll know some Reds starting pitchers.
Exactly.
But until that day. In fact,
Wade Miley, is he still on the Reds?
It's a good pull, but no. But no.
That's more recent than Kerry Wood.
Well, congratulations. Congratulations to you.
Far more recent.
Wade Miley. Oh, you are right. He still pitches for the Reds.
Wow.
They signed him back in January. So Wade Miley's back with the Reds.
Okay. So he found his way back home for me to be right. Got it.
Yes. He spent he was a Red for a couple years, and then he signed with them. So congratulations to Sean for pulling that name out. Wade Miley. He's a part of the Reds organization. I'm not sure he's on the major league club right now, but he is part of the organization again.
As a player, not as like a pitching coach?
No.
Okay.
He is still trying to keep the dream alive.
Okay.
Wade Miley. Longtime Astros rival, Wade Miley. He did pitch for the Mariners for a year. And the Red Sox. And the Orioles. So they actually faced them in the last half decade or so. But there it is. Your update on NL Central starting rotations.
We don't know a lot of them.
We don't know any of them, really.
Oh, I just meant pitchers. We don't know a lot of the pitchers.
No chance.
The 25 pitchers that make up the...
We finally got to maybe the most famous name in baseball. Paul Skeens, outside of Ohtani.
Yeah. Famous American name at baseball.
There it is.
USA.
Is there a more prominent American baseball player than Paul Skeens?
Probably Judge. That's it.
Yeah, he played for the Yankees.
Captain America. In the World Baseball Classic.
He's more like U.S. agent. John Walker is who I think of.
Come on.
Captain America's a black man. I don't know if you've heard. Although Aaron Judge. Well, okay.
I'm not waiting.
I was trying to see how far you would dive into this, or if you wouldn't dive at all.
Not doing it.
Probably a good decision on your part.
So quit asking, all right?
No problem, Coach Nick. No problem. And hey, look at me, Maria Taylor. Who would have thought? All right, so we'll go to break with that. We'll get into our scapegoat rankings because we certainly have a potential local addition to that. We have maybe a giant seven-footer out of Oklahoma City who we can add to the list. And certainly, let's not forget about that former Rocket and current Clipper. So we'll get to that at some point today. If you want to get in on anything, you can. That number is 713-780-3776. We got Greek Fest tickets to give away as well. So if you've ever listened to the John and Lance show and you've heard them eat, which may be annoying to you, at some point Greek Fest was a culprit. So we'll give you an opportunity to go to Greek Fest a little bit later. We're giving away tickets all week throughout the lineup. So stay tuned for that if you want to take part in a Houston tradition. So we'll get to that in a bit. We'll come back with some sound from, well, we played the sound from the Texans and more so the two owners as Cal and Hannah gave their thoughts on a potential new stadium and just football facility overall. But we'll hear from D'Amico Ryans. We gave you the Tank Dell update. As his words were tweeted out, we'll hear from the man himself when we come back, and we'll also get into the playoffs. Great night in NBA basketball and some remarkable finishes and some records being set. One the Celtics probably don't want to see ever again. So we'll get to that. We're just getting started here. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So while we heard, as I said, from the McNairs yesterday, they are in the midst of trying to get a couple things built. They want a new football facility, possibly away from NRG, and also just a new stadium is something they're considering as well. We know the initial sell was, hey, improvements to NRG because the county has let the facility get run down. At least that's the new part of it. We had a tweet from someone who listens. Dustin said he knows people, and the McNairs aren't wrong in saying that NRG has become a bit dilapidated. The county isn't doing what they're supposed to keep that thing top-notch. So while at most $1.5 billion is what the McNairs would want to throw in to renovate it, it certainly needs upgrades. And if it surpasses, the improvements surpass $1.5 billion, they would want a new stadium. At least that's the reporting. So we heard from them. Hannah, we talked about it yesterday. I had to jump in when Cal was talking about, hey, we would move, but Greater Houston. Cal, don't freak anybody out. We still want to stay in the area. So she was right there with them to let everyone know, not move into a different city, maybe just a different location in the city. That's their concern. As far as what happens in 2025, that is more D'Amico's. He has more to say about that. And D'Amico Ryans was there with them as well. He gave an update on Tank Dell, and the update was no update. And here's D'Amico Ryans on Tank.
I talk to Tank all the time. Tank is doing great. He's in good spirits. He's on the road to recovery. He's doing really well on his rehab process. He's in a really good spot. So excited to see how that continues to progress.
Going into the draft.
We'll take a few more.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think you want him to get this stranger.
For Tank, I want him to continue to get better, continue to attack each day of the rehab process the right way, like he's been doing, with a great attitude. And he'll be back when it's time for Tank to be back. There's nothing to rush. There's no set timeline or we need him back by this certain day. We need Tank back when Tank is ready to be Tank, and that's good enough for me.
No updates, but how many times can you say Tank in about 35 seconds? Look, the Celtics set a record that'll live in infamy until someone else challenges it. Is that the record for a number of times someone can say the name of Tank Dell? in 25 to 30 seconds? Because if not, D'Amico's really pushing it. Hey, I'm not going to give you anything, but if I say Tank over and over again, maybe that'll be something. So we talked about it yesterday. The Texans attacked free agency, and by that I mean trading for a player during free agency, and then the draft, like, they don't expect Tank Dell to play for them this year. Whatever happens in 2026, so be it. But they have covered themselves in the likelihood that he isn't available. And Lance pointed it out this morning. Like, he didn't even have ACL surgery until, like, March. He was injured in a playoff game. And he didn't have that surgery until March. So a lot of complications going on there.
He was injured before Christmas.
Yeah. Wait generally isn't that long.
No.
So,
because there's so much other than his ACL that was jacked up.
Yeah. So they waited. That has been taken care of. And you know, the news about Tank now is all the tattoos and people clowning him for having to get knocked out to get those tattoos.
Yeah. That was on the other leg, though, right?
Yes. I believe so. I believe. I don't know the rule. If you had major reconstructive surgery,
can you get a tattoo?
Can you get
Or is that the perfect time?
Can you get a full leg sleeve? Not sure what doctor said.
As you're rehabbing.
Yeah, who knows? But Tank's got a long rehab ahead of him, and the Texans have done what they can to protect themselves. And the possibility, even if Tank does come back in 2026, what type of player is he? So you've got two young guys, and at that point, Tank Dell would be in the final year of his contract. What type of deal could Tank Dell get? He would have to show that he's fully recovered, and that's going to be a challenge. So it's the business, and the Texans now have Tank's a young player, but the Texans just went and gotten two more young players. And in college football terms, they just recruited over Tank.
Yeah, NFL, not for long. By the way, you just said Tank so many times.
Well, I'm doing what
you're pushing D'Amico.
I'm doing what D'Amico did. It's part of the bit. I want to challenge. I can't get up 63s in a game like the Celtics did, so there's only a couple things I can try as far as news of the day. And doing what D'Amico did in referencing Tank. His receiver. I was going to go with his full regular name to
Nathaniel
avoid it again.
Dell?
Yeah, Nathaniel Dell. But there it is. So that's the update there. As far as I keep referencing the Celtics, they go down last night. They lose a 20-point lead and drop a game to the Knicks. The Knicks, heavy underdogs in that series, although they did put a team together to beat the Celtics. That's why OG Anunoby is there. That's why Mikal Bridges is there. They got wings. They got the lesser version of Brown and Tatum, but not last night. Those two shot poorly. They were, along with Derek White, those three combined to miss the bulk of the 45 threes the Celtics missed, 15 out of 60. It's the game the Celtics like to play. You may criticize them for not adapting at some point, but hey, when you win a title, it's hard to flip what you want to do in one game. You know what? They'll come out and shoot 40-plus threes in game two because that's the way Joe Mazzulla wants them to play. Just did not work out. Jalen Brunson, after his performance in game six against the Pistons, followed that up with big shot after big shot in what was a low-scoring overtime game. But he continues to outplay a stature. Is he good enough to be a number one and win a championship? I don't know. But he's good enough to keep the Knicks relevant, which is something that has not been the case for pretty much since I was like, I don't know, 11 years old. The Knicks have not been a real relevant franchise as far as being in the playoffs and being a factor until he became what he's become. There are the Carmelo Anthony years where there was not a lot of success in the playoffs, but at least Knicks fans could comfort themselves with having Carmelo. It's not like they were winning anything with him. And Jalen Brunson hasn't gotten past the second round yet, and he probably won't get past the second round this time. And really, the biggest thing he's caused us is to deal with Stephen A. Smith being excited about basketball. Because I don't think he cares that much about the games themselves. I think he cares a lot about the stories that he can build on a show. Now I have to deal with him being excited about Knicks basketball. That's a problem. That's what I don't like Jalen Brunson for.
Yeah, because the wrestling character that is Stephen A. Smith gets to do the, I'm just so proud of New York.
Yeah, that thing. I don't like it. I like when you couldn't talk seriously about basketball because the Knicks stunk.
Yeah, I liked it when you're complaining about Tingus Pingus getting drafted, all right? I don't want you, like, the Mecca. Get out of here.
Didn't Tingus Pingus missed the second half of that game yesterday.
That's kind of what he does. But yes. This was due to illness. But
not injury.
Not injury. Not the other illness that he missed like 2 weeks of the regular season with.
When he was... Yeah. He's always missing time. The Celtics won the championship last year, and he was supposed to
He was missing time?
Yeah, he was supposed to be a major piece, a difference maker. And he played like 7 games. You have to win 16 to win the title. He only played 7 overall.
Yeah.
And he
last year, the first 2 rounds were just...
Well, they're playing teams missing a lot of players, so he fit right in. Fit right in. But as you say, Tingus Pingus wasn't available in the second half.
Kristaps Porzingis, for anybody who
doesn't
remember. Yes,
you don't know where that comes from.
A bit from like 2014.
Because the disrespect Stephen A. showed to a guy I guess he had never heard of, that his team drafted him. So he called him that. And Porzingis has had a checkered career. There was a thing in New York. Part of the reason he's not there anymore that people don't remember. And then, of course, the time in Dallas where it didn't work out for him and Luka. But now, he's a champion. Can never take that away from him. And the Celtics need him. Running out Horford out there for 35-plus minutes a night over and over again in the series ain't a good way to go about things. But if they make more shots, we're not talking about Brunson's comeback. The Celtics were awful.
They make... Two more
two
shots.
More shots. Make 17 out of 63s. And maybe get a shot off to end the game?
Maybe.
Because there were two scenarios in two different games where fouling or not fouling was, while you're up 3, was in question. The Knicks did it with less time on the clock than the Thunder did. The Thunder did it probably a little too early. Their coach, Mark Daigneault, said, hey, maybe I did it too early because it allowed for... the make or misses that came because the Thunder were fouled to stop the clock and they had to go to the line and Chet missed 2. And it led to the Aaron Gordon 3. There is sound because the rebound, I think, happens. Christian Braun grabs it after it like hit the floor and the Nuggets were a little not sure who was going to get it. He passes it to Russ, which, knowing Russ's recent history with potential game-changing layups, hasn't gone well. There is sound of the local Denver Nuggets, like, analyst team that is going to talk about the game after they're ready to go. They're going to talk about it immediately after it ends. You know, the games aren't on local TV anymore, but they still have the studio show, so they're going to talk about the game. And it's 3 guys going, no, 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 as he's racing up the court. And then he passes it, and then they go, you know, that breath gets drawn in with the anticipation of where the shot's going to go down. Of course, Aaron Gordon knocks down the shot. Did not know he was called Mr. Nugget, but that's what he's called. And Mr. Nugget knocks down the shot. But that entire room was like, please, Russ, don't take the shot.
I mean, it was the longest, like, 2.5 seconds that he had the ball of all time. Because I also, sitting on my couch, was like, he is 100% going to try to force a layup against 3 Oklahoma City Thunder.
He made the right play.
He did make the right play.
The force of nature came through, as he called himself.
He is a force of nature.
So the Nuggets win. With 1 day of rest off of Game 7, they go into OKC and win that game. And a lot of the conversation this morning, I'm sure we'll get to it, because there's some stuff from Bobby Marks about the Fred VanVleet potential team option being picked up that will play. A lot of the conversation was about what the Rockets are going to do now. Are they going to run it back? Are they going to make a trade? The Thunder are in a very similar spot, except a year ahead. Now, it's only Game 1. But they've already lost home court. If they lose a series against the Nuggets, what are they going to do? They have more assets than anybody in the league. As far as the young players they'd be willing to move, they don't really match the Rockets, although we don't know who the Rockets are willing to move. But the Thunder have guys that we would consider untouchable. Shea's not going anywhere, but he's barely even a young player anymore. He's just an established star. Chet would fall under the young player category. Don't think they're moving him. He may fall under that untouchable category like Amen does here. But they got the picks. They got guys they can trade. I just don't think they have the potential that the Rockets guys do. But they can't lose in the second round again without real questions being asked about that roster. And look, Shea's one more second round exit away from all of that. He's pretty immune to criticism outside of the foul grifting stuff that people do online. He doesn't even get that on TV. He loses another second round series. He'll get put in that category of guys who Are they good enough?
Yeah.
Are they clutch enough? Just wait.
And that group AT&T commercial that they have is an AT&T.
It's not even. It won't be so cute anymore.
Yeah. That's the one guy who choked the two free throws. That's the other guy who stole an MVP from Nikola Jokic.
Yeah. If Jokic
and
takes
there's
him,
Jalen Williams with that stupid hat.
If Jokic takes out Shai in this series, when Shai's likely going to be handed an MVP trophy during the series. Yeah, the narratives are going to change. And that's how quick I talked about it yesterday. Amen went from untouchable to bench him for Jabari to back to untouchable. Shai will go from he deserves the MVP to, wait a minute, is Shai good enough to lead a team to a title? That's how quickly these stories change. And we will see how the series goes. But we've had three game ones in the second round, all really good ones. Can the Warriors put up a fight against Minnesota? We'll find out tonight. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll do our NBA scapegoat list. Sean probably gave your preview of one of the guys when he mentioned the two free throws being missed. Those Chet Holmgren free throws led to the Aaron Gordon game winner as the Thunder, they didn't blow a 20-point lead late, but I think they were up by 9, comfortably ahead, and the Nuggets found a way. So the three road teams all won game one. We'll see if the Warriors can match it. Have my doubts. They seem like they're on fumes. But they did get it done here. When we come back, we'll hear from Bobby Marks on Fred VanVleet's team option and what it means for other players on the roster. And surprisingly, because of how it's set up, Fred's situation will have an answer earlier than you think. We'll hear from Bobby Marks when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
All right, welcome back. So, Fred VanVleet, you would say the most impactful, I guess you'd throw in Steven Adams, the top two most impactful Rockets from the series. For different reasons, Fred was the only one you could rely on from games 4 through 6 to knock down a shot. And he was spectacular. Game 7 didn't have the same type of impact. And maybe that had to do with what Draymond Green mentioned, and we might get to that a little bit later. But he talks about what a Game 7 means and how it affects people. And I can't really disagree. So we may hear from him a little bit later. About that, we will hear from him go after Dylan Brooks because they have a long-standing feud, and he wasn't done talking about Dylan Brooks after the series. He was on his podcast with Baron Davis. So Draymond's still talking about the Rockets. We'll hear from him in the segment. But let's hear first from Bobby Marks. Bobby Marks, longtime contributor to ESPN. He's a guy they go to during free agency to tell you how contracts work, who can be traded where, who can be signed, what it'll do to your first apron, a second apron, luxury tax, all that stuff. He's their guy. And with Fred VanVleet being the first major domino to fall for the Rockets, Bobby Marks kind of walks you through why it's going to happen so quickly.
So Fred's got a $44.9 million player option, a team option, excuse me. It's interesting, the language in his contract. The language in his contract is there's a 5-day window after the final postseason game to exercise the option. That is much different than most players having a June 29th player option or team option here. Basically, if the contract's not amended, we're going to know by the end of the week what decision Houston is going to go with Fred VanVleet. If they if they exercise the option, they pick it up. There's pros and cons to picking up the option and declining the option. The pros is that you exercise the option. Now you got a big tradable trade chip, it's a $45 million contract to use in the offseason. The con is now you are $7.5 million over the luxury tax and you're right at the first apron.
So a lot there, but what you need to know is Fred VanVleet, we'll have an answer 5 days after the Rockets' final postseason game, not the final postseason game, not the finals, game 4, game 7, whatever it is. As he said, by the end of the week, we'll know what the Rockets want to do with Fred. And if they don't pick up the option, then the conversation will be about, is Fred going, or maybe we'll have a follow-up report very quickly after that, that the Rockets and Fred are working towards a longer-term extension. We will see. Did Fred do enough in these playoffs? I wouldn't even say to change Rockets' minds. From all accounts, it was Fred's coming back, even if it's not at $45 million a year. It'll be less money annually, but more years. Has he done enough to change your mind about him? Because Fred has been a point of, well, at least his shooting has been a point of concern all year long. He is a 40% shooter or worse from the floor, and about 30 plus, 35% from three, whatever it is this year. And he does it at high volume, unfortunately, sometimes, where Fred doesn't mind. Fred Van Fleet didn't mind going 6 for 18. Just get the shots up. And he was given, if you want to call it a green light, but he was certainly given the leeway to do it by the staff. No one ever put a governor on Fred and say, hey, knock it off. He didn't get that. So they are fond of him. I don't think this playoff performance is going to change their minds about him. The question is, how much is enough? How much is right if you're going to turn down the player option because you don't want him making 45, but you want him back for more years? Are you giving him $30-plus million a year to be your high-volume, poor-shooting leader when you have a high-volume, slightly better-shooting two-guard you're paying $30-plus million next year? There's a real chance, let's say they don't give Fred 45. There's a real chance you're paying, let's say, $66 million or so to two guys that if you divided that in half, that's about their shooting percentage from three. 33% combined. Now, Jalen went up a little bit. That's his career high. But it's a lot of money for guys who you can't count on night to night to knock down shots. It's a lot.
Yeah.
And
Jalen Green, I mean, he gets double teamed.
Well,
just can't do anything.
That is going to be, that's the narrative the Rockets is putting out there.
Do Are I you paying $33 million to a guy who can get double-teamed out of a game?
And force you to bench him in a big playoff game? Because if
he wasn't getting double-teamed, you know.
Yeah, if you
never
missed
mind,
it.
He was going
you know
two
what?
For
Since
eight.
Sean is referencing it, let's play this out. And it's sound that I heard and don't really buy, but the coach said it, so I guess you have to believe it. Ime Udoka was asked about Jalen Green's struggles, and of course, there are stars around the league who have game plans put on them to try to shut him down, and they find a way to overcome. Jalen, we know, did not overcome this Warriors defense that was specifically set up to stop him, at least according to Ime Udoka. Here's Ime on the challenges Jalen's faced in this series.
You know, you have to look at it as a sign of respect the way they went after him. Obviously, a leading scorer, and their objective was to take him out of the series. And like I've said throughout the series, it's he gets the ball out of his hands and gets us the numbers and the advantage. He's done his job there, and you have to try to take advantage of opportunities and transition when we get stops and get out and run and kind of be more efficient as far as that. But, you know, when teams want to blitz you, like I said, I always say we should welcome that and kind of pick that apart. We've seen it quite a bit this year with him, and so he's improved in that area. But, you know, he didn't get a ton of shots, honestly, throughout the series or when they did guard him regularly, he obviously had a big night, and then they went right back to what they were doing. And so, you know, it's going to sting for him as well, not having his best performance in the series. But at the same time, like I said, you got to take advantage of those numbers. And he did his job to get off the ball, and everybody could have played better tonight, obviously.
While that final sentence is true, everyone could have played better. In game one, he got 15 shots up and went 3 for 15. And then, of course, he had his big night. He talked about how the lights are too bright in game one, and I guess he got over it in game two. Yes, in game four, or at least in game three, 11 shots. In game four, 8 shots. In game five, 8 shots. In game six, 11 shots. In game seven, 8 shots. You know another guy who used lack of shots as a way to defend himself when poor performances in the playoffs happen? It was an excuse. One James Harden. There's a lot of the greatest quote of all time from him is the ball just never came back to me. He said that after a game six dud for the Sixers I'm not gonna buy he didn't get a lot of shots because of defense. What are we talking about?
He also shot like 30% from the field.
Yeah, so
it's not like the shots he was getting were good.
Yes, he didn't score a lot, but when he did take shots, he didn't make those. So are you telling me if he got his 15 shots up, he would have went 6 for 15? Would that have been acceptable?
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
It's also like in the regular season, teams aren't double teaming him. He'll still put up a 3 for 15 in the regular season.
Yeah. I mean,
I feel like Jalen just kind of like that in the playoffs, he just was who he is in the regular season.
Like the coach is right not to crush him. Jalen was harsher on himself than Ime was. He goes, not good enough. I mean, there's a clip that Big Sarge grabbed where he pretty much said, hey, no excuses. What I did was bleep. Not good. It's just not good enough. He understands. He knows. You want to protect him? Cool. But I would come up with a better reason than he didn't get enough shots. So what was that going to do? Was he going to – he went 3 for 8 in game 7. Let's say he gets up 8 more. 6 for 16, cool. Are we applauding him for that performance? If he even matches that, if he doubles it up, which is no guarantee, I'm sure the Warriors did quite a bit to keep him from going off. But that started in game 1 before he went off the first time. It wasn't like, oh, we forgot about Jalen in game 2, so let's go. I don't think that's how it worked.
We decided to stop doubling him for
game 2. Yeah, he made shots. He was good in game 2. He just was not good the rest of the way. And that's fine to say, but maybe not if you're the coach. I get that part of it. So that'll be Jalen Green's offseason, trying to figure out a way to do what a lot of other NBA stars do, figure out defenses that are trying to take your best stuff away. And Jalen's going to have to find counters. And maybe the Rockets' offense is an issue, too. Outside of Amen cutting to the lane a couple times or being in the dunker spot, and there's not a lot of ball movement or player movement. Like, Halpern can be a hub. Halpern is a good enough passer where you can put him at the nail, and his physicality can draw, and you can use off-ball screens to get guys towards the bucket. There's not a lot of that. And for a team who doesn't shoot the ball that well, there may need to be more of that. And we'll see if they do change their offense, and that'll have a lot to do with personnel. We just don't know who that personnel will be because the Rockets are going to be in every potential trade, even if they don't want to be involved in the speculation. They're just going to be assumed to be a team who is willing to make a move. Part of the curse of having all those assets that people might want.
Yeah. Yeah. It is just like anytime there's a star player, it's like, oh, Rockets?
Huh? Hey, they're a pretty good young team. Don't they need one extra piece to get over the top?
You want to push some pieces in for Zion Williamson?
Yeah, Bleacher Report.
No, not really.
Hey, Bleacher Report, get another trade.
Yeah.
Graphic ready because the Rockets are being mentioned again.
Whip something together on the trade machine. Throw in some picks.
Yeah, if you wanna do a uniform edit, a jersey edit for someone, do that too.
Oh yeah.
Because Brian Windhorst has mentioned the Rockets as a team that Giannis could like, because no one knows what Giannis wants anyway right now.
Yeah. And my favorite thing with the Giannis, especially Giannis edits, but it happens with a lot of teams, is that they want to have some sort of realism so they can't Photoshop him into a number 34 because, well, it's already retired. You know?
Is he going to pull an Abdul Carter?
Yeah. I'm like, guys, this is just a hypothetical. Like,
you could do it.
You could do it. No one is going
to
be mad.
You don't have to put him in 33. Like, although that's retired too, is it? Is it
for Otis Thorpe?
Nah. 33 is available, right?
I think so.
Wow. Yeah, put him in. You guys, you don't have to put him in 33.
I think Robert Covington wore 33. So
he might have. You don't have to put him in 33. You don't have to put him in 33. Or
put him in 34.
Put him in 34. He's not even on the team.
Who cares? There's probably less than a 50% chance he will be on the team.
Yeah.
Like
it's unlikely, actually. Giannis staying a Buck is probably the favorite. And then, of course, it'll change if we hear about a meeting that says he wants out. But at this point, I'm going to say Giannis remaining a Buck is a favorite until proven otherwise. You got to think about...
Loves Cream City.
You certainly love saying Cream City. You got to think about it. You got to add in the Euro part of it. Those guys generally don't ask out. The guy who did get traded didn't ask out. He didn't want to go. and they sent them away.
It is funny that European basketball players are like loyalty above everything else. European soccer players are like, get me out of here.
It's true. It's true.
Every 18 months.
There's always some reason they want to go.
I'm done with Milan.
A giant clubs. It's not like these guys are at small clubs in that league. Like, yeah, I'd rather play for Barcelona. But you play for Inter or AC. Yeah. I'd rather play for Barcelona or Real.
Yeah. And then, again, 18 months later, they're like, you know what? No, it sounds good. Manchester United.
That's right.
Let's do it.
Because they're
I just turned 29.
I got one more deal in me.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I got to hit a lick.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, there's some suckers over there.
You said that, and I was, and because Fred was mentioned so much this morning, I was like, when Fred saw the Rockets coming, he was like, when he could pit the Rockets against the Raptors, he was like, oh, yeah. You're going to give me a $45 million team option that maybe you'll exercise?
Yeah, it's like team option? Sure.
Sure, whatever. Cares? Maybe I play.
I'd already made $90 million by that point.
Maybe I'll play well enough that you want to do it, or maybe I'm so good in the locker room you'll give me an extension. And here we are. We're a couple days away from figuring at least part of it out. We're done with hour one of the show. We got Greek Fest tickets giveaway. We'll do that in the second hour. We'll also do our playoff scapegoats when we come back. And we'll play more sound from Draymond because he accused the Rockets of something. And maybe that's why one of the guys on our list played as poorly as he did. We'll get to that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.